Welcome to this bonus episode of The Commons, a podcast featuring researchers, innovators, artists, entrepreneurs, and community leaders who are improving the human condition in your own backyard and across the globe. I'm your host, Tom Osha. As part of the Bio International Conference taking place this week, as a virtual set of webinars and video meetings, the Commons interviewed several members of the Phoenix bio ecosystem to learn more about the research, resources, and opportunities taking place in this rapidly emerging life science and biotechnology ecosystem.
Sparking collaboration is the purpose of the Phoenix bioindustry ecosystem. Phoenix, Arizona, where each day is a relentless pursuit of cures. From discovery to delivery, join Phoenix companies and the leading edge of personalized medicine. Come to a young, vibrant community in an environment where ideas thrive. With a lack of barriers to enter the market, America's fastest growing population, and an entrepreneurial pioneer spirit, this is the place for rising to success. Join Translational Genomics Research Institute, three research universities, and world-class bioscientists in the Phoenix Biomedical Campus. Located in dynamic downtown Phoenix, home to Wexford Science and Technologies Collaboration Design Bioscience Research Building, the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation, and unlimited opportunities. Learn more at phoenix.gov/econdev/bio.
It is often said that talent is the currency of innovation, and the best talent is attracted to dynamic innovation districts that feature a great built environment, iconic public spaces, engaging programming, superior amenities, housing, and a true sense of community. For our final special bio episode examining the biosciences ecosystem in Phoenix, we take a look at both of these critical elements. Appropriately so, let's examine talent first. Studies show that between 25 and 40% of the jobs in a life science-focused innovation district don't require a four-year degree. We've heard from previous guests about the strength of the region's college graduates from Arizona State University and the University of Arizona School of Medicine. And Oncomix's Steve Potts described how he has attracted experienced executive-level and senior biopharma talent to his company. But given these statistics, where does one find the middle-skilled talent, the technicians and specialists so critical to scaling young companies and attracting new ones to the market? My first guest has spent most of his 30-year career not just answering this question and others like it, but also building numerous programs that address head-on the talent issue and the ever-growing need for more of it. Tom Schumann is currently the executive director of the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation at Gateway Community College, part of the Maricopa Community College system in and around the Phoenix area. He is an experienced business counselor providing financial and technical assistance to small and medium-sized businesses across a variety of industries and stages of development. And he uses his background in economics, accounting, finance to help growing companies secure the financial resources required for growth through private investment and commercial and non-traditional lending. He has also fashioned CEI into one of the leading business incubators in the country and ultimately being named as the INBIA Science and Technology Incubator of the Year for 2019. He's also recently announced the expansion of the CEI mission with the creation of LabForce. He is outstanding at blending together academic and applied approaches, and he joins us today from his office in Phoenix. Tom, welcome to the Commons.
Good morning, Tom, and very glad to be here with you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And why don't we start off by describing CEI, its mission, and the types of companies that you accept into your incubator program?
Yeah, Tom, well, CEI, the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation, I like to describe it as a pretty traditional business incubator We start with companies that are early in the concept and design stages, and we stay with them until they are launching into sales. So for many of our clients, that can be a 2-year or 3-year journey that they're here with us at CEI. We focus primarily on companies that are in the bioscience and medical device industries, but we also look at a variety of other emerging technologies and have AI companies in here and a variety of other types of fast kinds of opportunities. Our particular niche that we fulfill here, Tom, is we work a lot with faculty that are in research labs at Arizona State, U of A, as far away as, you know, Hawaii University, who have technologies that they've discovered and patented in their office, in their labs. And now they're looking for places that they can help to bring it to market. So we have that little niche of working to help move academicians from being lab scientists and turning them into entrepreneurs. We employ a variety of tools to help with that transformation. We obviously have a great state-of-the-art facility here at CEI with the wet labs and the kinds of equipment and amenities that they need to do their work. But what we bring to it are two more things. One is a full Rolodex of subject matter experts. We practice what we call concierge level of service, always trying to anticipate what that client's next set of needs are going to be and making sure the resource people are there to help them on that step. So we link them into good mentors, and we provide a whole bunch of one-on-one counseling on a day-to-day basis with many of these companies. And the second thing that we bring is the community. We have probably 20 to 24 clients in our program at a time, Tom, and most of them will have 2 or 3 PhD scientists affiliated with them. So there's a lot of very smart people in our facility, and we encourage and do things to create that interaction between the companies and the individuals so that they're supporting each other in this environment. So it's a very collaborative feel. We use food and events and those types of things as well, just to get people together to kind of create this community so that they're both sharing, you know, their intellectual capital, but also sharing that journey of being an entrepreneur and the ups and downs that go along with that.
Since you work with scientists that are coming out of Arizona's universities, ASU, the University of Arizona, NAU,
yep,
you're in a unique position to comment on what's the quality of biosciences like coming out of the Phoenix area.
We have fabulous entities like the Biodesign Institute and the medical schools here that are constantly turning out a good stream of both faculty-based research, but a lot of the work that we do are recent graduates that are coming out of the programs. And so, you know, the talent is exceptional. It's world class. And we do not hurt, if you will, for a pipeline of good projects coming into here. I think part of the evidence is I think a number of our companies are there competing at Bio this week, and they're good kind of ambassadors of what can be done here.
What is the talent market like in Phoenix? Is there enough of it? Where are the gaps in it? And what are your programs at Gateway Community College?
Almost 2 years ago, Tom, you know, we sat down with our team here and we started thinking about what our clients were going to need 2 years from now, you know, when they graduate out of CEI and they've been growing for a while. As part of that, you know, concierge level service of trying to anticipate what their needs are. And we really identified two things. One was that they need ongoing growth capital. Because as you know, growing companies, you know, they soak up capital like a sponge to fuel their growth. Not much we can do as a community college about that situation. But the other, you know, was clearly they needed a skilled and talented pipeline of employees coming into their companies. And being, you know, the startup, they have to outcompete some of the larger companies to try and attract the kind of capital or the kind of talent that they will need. So we undertook a study. We employed some individuals to go out and talk with the CEOs of some of the bioscience companies in our community stakeholders, many of them you've mentioned, the City of Phoenix, Flint Foundation, and others, really to try and get a good understanding of what are the talent needs that industry is going to need. And what came back was really not surprising. What we learned was that companies Across the board, we're looking for more individuals with talent and training in quality, quality systems, quality management. You know, these are highly regulated industries, and so good quality systems underpins all of it. And then some, you know, clinical skills and some specific bio lab skills that were also in short supply that needed some more training. So I think, as you mentioned in your intro, graduates out of four-year programs and master's programs readily find jobs and are highly needed. We put a proposal together here at CEI and took it to Maricopa Community College for a project that we called LabForce to address, you know, that gap that existed out there.
So describe the LabForce program a little bit more, if you will. I do know it's going to be one of the anchors of the new Wexford Innovation Building on the biomedical campus, and I know it's an expansion of your mission.
It sure is, and we are certainly looking forward to moving into the Wexford building here later in the year. It's exciting. Our space is starting to take shape, and we're really excited about that. LabForce is really designed to be a statewide workforce development initiative serving the bioscience and life science industries here in the state of Arizona, and it really has two primary component. One, as you mentioned, is the physical training location in downtown, part of the exciting and growing biomedical campus. We absolutely love our location there on the campus, but even more specifically, you know, on the ground floor of your new building. It's going to be great space. And that's where we will be doing the hands-on training for individuals, as well as there's a special program called the Validation Lab that we will house there that will focus on working with very early stage technology companies to help them do the customer discovery and market research on new product and company ideas, you know, early in that process. Much of our instructional design is based around an approach that starts with learning the knowledge on tutorials online. But then the second step is, you know, the blended learning approach of bringing them into a lab, either ours downtown at the training center, or it can be done on site at companies where they, you know, get the hands-on instruction on techniques and processes and tools. And then the third phase of our instructional design is actually that individual later on the job demonstrating the competencies while they're working and getting that final sign off by their supervisor that the competencies have been achieved. When we launch this fall, we'll have over 400 bioscience and life science courses loaded into the catalog.
I love the integrated program that takes both the academic knowledge, the applied knowledge, the on-the-job knowledge, and blends it all together. So we look forward to great things from that LabForce program. Let me also ask you, Tom, because programs like LabForce sound like wonderful opportunities to really use innovation to create inclusion and economic mobility. And so talk to me about how, whether it's LabForce or other programs at Gateway, can really become pathways to ensuring that many of the jobs in the Innovation District and across the Phoenix Biomedical Campus are really open to all communities.
As an extension of a community college, that inclusion is very much a part of our mission. Maricopa is a primarily a Hispanic-facing organization, and so we serve a very large Hispanic population in all of our programming. We see LabForce working really closely with some of the other workforce development initiatives from the city and the county to work with their at-risk populations that need this educational stepping stone to get into careers. You know, right down the street from us is the Bioscience High School that's run by the Phoenix School District and having, you know, transition programs for high school students to be able to complete some of our lab technician training programs and get some internship and some firsthand job experience early in their lives so they get kind of inspired to move on and do more work that way.
Well, that's great advice. These are certainly great programs, and I really appreciate you sharing them with us today. My guest has been Tom Schumann. He is the Executive Director of the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation. To learn more about CEI and its programs, please visit www.ceigateway.com. And to learn more about the new LabForce program, which will debut fall of 2020, please visit ceilabforce.com. As we have heard from all of our interviewees this week, quality of place matters in attracting the talent, ideas, companies, and resources to continue to grow Phoenix's biosciences ecosystem. To that end, Wexford Science and Technology is nearing completion of the largest private lab-capable building project in Phoenix history. The Wexford Innovation Center will be located on the Phoenix Biomedical Campus and will be anchored with research from ASU and the LabForce program at CEI. In this next segment, my colleague, Wexford Senior Vice President and Western Development Executive Doug Woodruff and I spend a few minutes discussing why Wexford chose Phoenix as a market, the unique characteristics of the new building, and how it will contribute to the growth of the biosciences ecosystem and capabilities in Phoenix. Doug, welcome to the Commons.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
So, Doug, let me ask you the obvious first question. Why did Wexford choose Phoenix for its latest project?
Well, there are a number of attributes that brought us to Phoenix. Say at the top of the list was the commitment on the part of two major research universities in Arizona State and University of Arizona to making life science and bioscience a core competency of both institutions. In addition, we found that the City of Phoenix and the Flynn Foundation had really made some strong inroads into setting up the ecosystem. In addition, in terms of the greater Phoenix area, it's a terrific catchment area for all kinds of bio and life science advancement. Not only do you have a very diverse population, but you also have some unique characteristics in terms of the climate, in terms of how climate impacts health and healthcare. And on top of that, you have a really robust healthcare system. There is also a great workforce that's there that's relatively untapped in terms of life science research and development.
Phoenix is one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country, and there's a lot of centers of gravity all across the Sun Valley. What was it about the location in downtown Phoenix and the biomedical campus that was so attractive?
Downtown Phoenix, which historically was, you know, a more traditional mid-rise, high-rise office building, has really seen a sea change in the last 10 years. Fastest growing housing market in all of Greater Phoenix. You've seen, I think it's 6,000 new housing units brought to downtown in the last 8 years. We felt like being at the center of all of that, tying it to the vision the city's had for a long time of the Phoenix Biomedical Campus, allowed us to work with Arizona State and figure out a way that we could draw some of their really high-end research work that had always been done on the campus at Tempe into this kind of ecosystem, which allows them to expand their workforce, to attract new talent who wants to be in an urban core area, to open the science up so that people around them work who, you know, not necessarily on a big university campus can see what's going on in terms of the work and the opportunities that come out of it. And they'd already created a bioscience high school, which is probably one of the most successful bio high schools in the country. It helps that it's also become a really vibrant place with lots of new residents of various ages and interests, everything from, you know, having one of the best farmers markets on a Saturday in the entire valley to having a number of parades and other things that bring people out on a regular basis.
So let's now come to the building itself, because it's a beautiful building, but it's kind of unique in how it looks, where it sits, how it addresses both the natural environment as well as the community around it.
First, start out by saying it's the largest biomedical commercial office building built in Phoenix ever, about 225,000 square feet. It is fully lab capable and enabled. We have at least half of the building that's already built out for various forms of research. We have a great lead tenant in Arizona State University, which is bringing a number of faculty members and their individual work from the Biodesign Institute to downtown. ASU is also creating an innovation center on the first floor, which will support innovation both in the life sciences area, but also afford others at the ASU downtown campus to come and experiment with innovation. We believe our buildings should be almost living, breathing components of the community. So we will have welcome open arms for folks to come in, see our lobby, use our lobby, use the outdoor spaces around the building. The whole intention here is to make it really a part of the community. The physical form is really unique. So we are taking a lead from the Saguaro Cactus. We'll be installing a fin structure on three sides of the building that will help shade the building and really give it a really interesting architectural character that has not been seen in Phoenix before. So looking forward to seeing that go up and hoping that it will be a iconic component of the building going forward.
Let's talk about the inside of the building. So Wexford's well known for lobbies that aren't what you would find in a typical office building. Describe the intentionality around the lobby that has been designed for this building, including everything from art to stairwells to the intentional location of the ground floor tenants.
We've intentionally developed the lobbies for Wexford so that they're convening places. They're open. They are the look and the feel of a hotel lobby. It's intentional in that we want to make sure that our tenants, their visitors, and even the community feel like the first floor of a Wexford building is a place for them. We encourage people to come down to the lobby. We have seating areas for 2 to 50 and even can host events up to 150 people so that we see it as a place for bringing people together. One of the things that we know is that in the world of bioscience, innovation comes from the collision of different people. And to purposefully design a lobby so that we support and encourage those kind of collisions and interactions between different tenant groups in the building, between the community and the building's tenant, we think is really important. In addition, we've selected three local artists to design pieces that will reflect the fact that we are in a building where innovation, entrepreneurship, and, you know, reaching for new outcomes is a big part of what goes on in the building. These local artists are in the process of completing their pieces. We will have them up and operating by the time the building opens later this year. And we're really excited to see the reaction from our tenants and from the community, because we think it'll be unique for any building in the greater Phoenix area.
So while it's a beautiful building, both inside and out, one of the important parts of these kinds of buildings that you create is really how it enables people to collaborate one with another, the type of programming that it carries. Can you kind of talk about the ecosystem that the building will really enable?
Our expectation is that we will purposefully create opportunities for our tenants to interact with each other and with the community writ large. Wexford has a national relationship with a group called Venture Cafe, in which we hold weekly mini seminars on Thursday evenings. And we're working with the city and with the Flynn Foundation and other corporate sponsors to bring Venture Cafe to downtown Phoenix and host it in our building. That's an event that will give the opportunity for the general public as well as the folks in the building to get together on a Thursday night and not only mingle and socialize, but also intentionally have focus on any number of different themes from week to week. That's one area. The other one is simply by having hang space. We're blessed with the ability to have both inside and outside hang space that we can use virtually all year long in downtown Phoenix. So it's our expectation that tenants in the building will want to migrate down and be on the first floor where it's a comfortable kind of open feel. And that should spawn additional interaction between tenant group and the public at large.
When will the building be open?
Building is scheduled to be open sometime in the fourth quarter. We should be opening the building early December.
Is there still space available for companies in the building? And if so, what kinds of companies might want to consider 850 North Fifth Street?
Yeah, there is definitely some great space still in the building. In fact, so the building is 7 stories tall, and we still have space available on levels 5, 6, and 7. They have tremendous views of all of the valley, because you can see as far north as up towards Flagstaff and down south toward Tucson from the top. The building square footage is about 36,000 square feet per floor. One of the unique things we're bringing to this building is that we're going to be developing small labs that will afford the opportunity for either startups or early stage companies who need lab space to come in on a turnkey basis and actually sign up and can rent a lab space for a month, 3 months, 6 months. We're working in partnership with Gateway Community College and the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation to figure out how we're going to manage that together. But we're really excited to be bringing that offering to the Valley because at this point, there is no such space in all of Phoenix.
If somebody was interested in leasing space, Doug, who would they contact and how would they do so?
Yeah, the building is being represented by Transwestern Group, and Mark Stratz is our lead broker. Mark can be reached at 602-882-4621. In addition, Kyle Jardine, who is our local market manager for the project, is always available, and Kyle can be reached at kyle.jardine, J-A-R-D-I-N-E, at wexfordscitech.com.
So tell me, Doug, what's next for Wexford on the Phoenix Biomedical Campus?
Well, the great news is we have a good relationship with both the city and Arizona State University, and we have plans to develop additional projects in the immediate area. On the drawing boards right now is a second building that will be about 300,000 square feet, include a parking garage. And again, we'll be focused on a combination of lab and office. What comes with that is also the opportunity to potentially tap into some of the other regional players. And with that also comes the ability to potentially land a much more significant life science business model. One of the things that we know is that in the next 10 to 20 years, bioscience is going to become a $2 to $4 trillion a year industry. We're looking for opportunities to potentially bring CMOs and CGMP facilities into the Phoenix Biomedical Campus. I think that will happen in downtown Phoenix, the Phoenix Biomedical Campus, and Wexford's there to help support it.
Thank you, Doug. My guest today on the Commons has been Doug Woodruff, Senior Vice President and Western Development Executive for Wexford Science and Technology. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tom Osha. The Commons is a production of Wexford Science and Technology, LLC. Views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guest. To view additional material about today's episode, submit questions or story ideas, or learn more about Wexford Science and Technology, please visit www.wexfordscitech.com/the Commons. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Thanks for listening.